Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. Today is Wednesday, February 17th, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to break that down. First off, February 17th, even though it's totally unrelated to Michigan or Michigan State Athletics, happy birthday to the GOAT, the heir apparent, Michael Jordan. I feel that deserves a shout out given the Jordan fanatics that me and Jeremy are. And like I also said, I was going to break Wednesday, February 17th down. That was February 17th, Wednesday. That means it is hump day, which is perfect because today can go screw itself. Michigan State is pretty much all but eliminated from the NCAA tournament, would probably need to win all but one of their remaining games. And they have Illinois on the schedule, potentially Michigan twice. If Michigan's trying to make up those games that we're still not 100% sure about, have Maryland. And then they go down to Bloomington to face all Big Ten first-teamer Trace Jackson Davis. It's not a good look. And I know we said that we were going to come back next Monday because we've been doing the show once a week. But I'm a little pissed off. I need to vent. And thanks to technology, I have the means to do that. And with me to try to help calm me down or just throw me deeper in the water is Jeremy File. Jeremy, look, let's get your thoughts on that game because, look, that this does cover Michigan. We do cover Michigan and Michigan State, I think, about equally. Occasionally, I need to vent. Occasionally, during football season, you need to defend. And so this is my turn. But I want you to kind of, you know, break down what you saw last night.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you feel any better. I mean, I'm not going to rub it in your face because I'm not like some of the
jackknobs
do that on the Michigan end. But here's my thing. I mean, you made a great statement there. I mean, I've had to vent a lot over football, and I guess it's just your turn. This team just can't figure it out, and they seem to do the dumbest things at the worst possible times, or it's just lack of focus and concentration, like Joey Hauser not catching the ball, Joey Hauser throwing the ball away, Aaron Henry driving baseline, getting a travel, just nonstop boneheaded plays. And this team is just not good enough to do that and win. And especially against Travion Williams, who just has their number. I mean, he knows he can dominate. He knows they're going to throw a plethora of big guys at him, and he's just going to pick his time and just beat all of them. And you know, Thomas Kithier seems to be – I guess Tom Izzo must have been listening to Dan Dockich because he kept mentioning how great Kithier was playing on Williams. And I got to laugh because I thought, what game are you watching? He had to take his head off almost because he got burned so bad on a slip cut. I thought Ivy and Williams were the difference, though. Yeah. Ivy played fantastic. Williams was obviously the main reason and the pretty much the only reason. But I thought Ivy played really, really well, and Williams made the right kickouts, and Purdue was just good enough inside and outside to win. But I'll tell you what, that's not a great team, Purdue. And those are the games that Michigan State is so accustomed to winning. And I'll tell you, man, this is just not the year for it. They do not have mental capacity to get over mistakes, the mental capacity to play the right way at the right times. And I just don't think, Tyler, the sad part about all of it is I just think some of these guys are just not that good. And I think that's what we're running into with. I think let's just say this one thing, and I know you got a long rant here, and I'm going to let you just have at it. But can we please agree on this? Cassius Winston and Xavier Timmel were pretty damn good. and they're very, very missed.
Yeah, and I still stand by what I said. Right now, Michigan State would have one loss if they had Xavier Timmel on the team. You look at his impact on both ends of the floor, one loss, period. I stand by that. There's a couple things I want to address here. First off, the rotation at center. All season long, I've given Izzo the benefit of the doubt, A, because he's earned it, and B, I watched the games. Bingham plays well one game, then he sucks. Bingham plays well one half, then he sucks. Marple shows up against Duke, showed up last night, was absolutely fantastic. I was waiting for him to come in as Tom's kicker kept getting beat at the end of the game. And he finally did. And so I get why you're kind of playing hot potato with that position, because look, nobody's shown up. And I get that. And so Tom Izzo does not deserve all of the blame, and I've been really lenient on Tom Izzo, like I said, A, because he's deserved it. He's been to the most recent Final Four. He's won the most recent Big Ten championship. It's not like he's fallen off over a period of 4 or 5 years. Okay? So, but look, Tom Izzo deserves some of the blame, not all of the blame that people are trying to throw on him, acting like he totally forgot to coach. Oh, well, he doesn't develop bigs. What the? Have you seen Xavier Tillman?
Jaren Jackson. I mean,
yeah. Well, Jackson was 1 year, and those 1 year guys are really hard to judge based upon development. But you can go to Draymond Green, you can go to Akin Peng, you can go to Matt Costello.
Yeah, but Costello in the NBA for a time there.
Yeah, and you know, just those guys do what they need to do. Xavier Tillman developed. So it's not like he forgot how to develop bigs. He knows how to develop them. Because Xavier Tillman, there were talks about him potentially redshirting as a freshman. I was on board with that idea. And so, look, it's not like he completely forgot to cope. But last night, God, the two Purdue games, which are probably the two that are the difference between, you know, being in a good spot on the bubble and being out of the tournament altogether, those are both on Izzo. Bingham had Travion Williams' number in the first game. Bingham did not play the second half. We were trying to play Kithier out as a five until Marble, who was our best big last night, Michigan State's best big last night, we were trying to play Kithier out at the five until Izzo finally said, you know what, he's getting beat enough. Let's put Marble back in. And he did that with 3 minutes left. And you also need to look at the fact, maybe Sissoko did not play in the second half. He big boyed Williams a few times on the glass. He did not play in the second half. And it's like the first game where Bingham did not play in the second half. And both of those guys at their respective times, because Bingham didn't really do jack against Williams except just pick up fouls. Sissoko was dominant last night, didn't play second half. Bingham was dominant in the first game, did not play in the second half of that one. So, look, those two fall on Izzo. I don't think it's to the point, though, where these fans are acting like he totally forgot to coach.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read much of that crap, and I just try to stay away from it. I just try to judge what I
what
know
we see, what yeah. Because what you and me see, look, I'm not trying to, you know, stick my nose up in the air and talk down to people. What you and me see is different than what a lot of other people see.
Well, I think you have to be a little objective, you know, and you can't be 100% biased on what you want it to be. You know, I think people are so focused on Tom, he's been there forever, and they're so focused on his coaching, whether it's good or bad, and really it's got to come down to the players a little bit. And I think that is a concern for me for Michigan State moving forward, is look, you know, Tom is going to be who he is. He's never going to change. He's going to run the same stuff. He's still yelling chest up cross like he has for 20 years. It's going to be the
man that a runs lot that last night, by the way, and Doc was loving it.
He's going to run it next year. He's going to run it the year after that, and he's going to run it the year after that. I mean, that's just who he is. I think that the big thing you're seeing that's a problem with this team is they, you know, if you look at all the best teams in the Big Ten right now, and you could even argue Ohio State could be the one team, maybe not, but they still have a lot of post presence. Michigan has Dickinson. You can dump it to him. You know, Iowa has Garza. You can dump it to him. You know,
Coburn,
look at
Illinois.
Illinois. I mean, you know, Coffee, give him the ball. He can dunk on you. I mean, he's going to go to work. Wisconsin, when they were really playing well, they had the two bigs.
Look up Potter
Michigan
and
State
Ann Rivers.
yeah, I mean, they have struggled a little bit towards the end here this year, and that was something that was mentioned on the telecast last night. But let me just say, Michigan State doesn't have that. They don't have a guy who can get them an easy bucket inside, and every team that's good has that in the Big Ten. And they just don't. And the problem that's really killing them is, okay, that doesn't always work. Well, the guard play's not very good. And if Joey Hollis is not catching the ball, and if Watts is just not turning out to be who we think he was going to be, and you don't have made free throws, and Aaron Henry comes and goes, you got major problems. I mean, Josh Langford is the one guy they have out there that it makes sense what he does. I mean, you know what he's going to do. He's going to go to the corner, hit three. He's going to shot fake, get to his mid-range. Everything he does, you trust it. Everybody else, you don't trust. I mean, I don't trust Aaron Henry. I don't trust Joey Hauser. I don't trust the bigs. You know, Malik Hall will play hard for the most part, but I can't trust him going to get the job done. You know, you can trust Ivy from Purdue as a freshman. You can trust him. He's going to make plays.
Yeah, he's electric.
And Michigan State, I'll tell you something, Tyler. It scares me for Michigan State people on just how undeveloped some of these kids are, though. So I think next year is a big year where maybe this is a good wake-up call. Maybe it even re-energizes Tom, right? You know, like, oh, wow, we got smacked last year. We got pounded. We played dumb. We played foolish. We played soft. That doesn't happen here ever again. Maybe that's what they needed, you know. I don't know, but I'll tell you this, it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, and that was the other thing where I'm going to put the blame on Izzo. Look, because I didn't, like I said, I didn't have a problem with trying to roll Kithier out there just to give Marble a little bit more time. I mean, that was one of Marble's biggest issues last year, where they didn't leave him in a lot because he got winded so quickly, and he did get banged up while he dunked on Edie last night, and so I kind of was giving him the benefit of the doubt with Kithier. Try to roll with him as long as you can. If not, you got to put in a banged up Marble. Fine. I'm cool with it. Joey Hauser playing over Malik Hall at the end of a game, I will never understand. I will, and this is where it falls on Izzo. I will never, ever understand that, because Malik Hall fights. Malik Hall may not put up sexy numbers. He might not be able to shoot like Joey Hauser if, God forbid, he ever catches the ball. But Malik Hall can fight. And that's what you need. You need fighters out there. You need these energetic guys. And that's why Gabe Brown is so huge for this team, or should have been huge for this team, if he didn't, have the most recent, the latest bout with COVID or whatever that kept him out while everybody else was playing. I think that was, and Izzo said that's part of the reason they didn't play Sissoko in the second half, is because he lost like 8 pounds or something stupid like that while he was going through his COVID stuff, and he just didn't have the energy. Fine. Like I said, I understand that. Joey Hauser should not be playing now. He shouldn't be playing. And there are some idiots out there who thought, oh, look, after this year, and we've talked about this, oh, Henry's going to the league. Hauser's going to the league. I kind of agreed with the Henry thing. I kind of understood it. I got the hype around it. You know, very good player over the last 2 seasons. Finally going to take on that leadership role. Fine. But I kind of laughed at the Joey Hauser thing. And unfortunately, I was incredibly right, because I don't, you know, Izzo's doing, and I don't think Izzo's doing enough by having Malik Hall as the ceremonious starter, I guess it would be the best way to put it, where, yeah, he starts, but Hauser gets the starter minutes. And look, I get doing that if, you know, you're punishing a kid. Shoot, I had six players on my basketball team last year. Six. And I did that to three different players, is I put in our sixth man, our last guy, literally. I put him in over three different starters throughout the course of the season, more or less as like any sort of a reprimand is what it is. Joey Hauser, but I still play those kids starter minutes. Joey Hauser does not deserve to play starter minutes anymore. He doesn't. And to think that Malik Hall, to think that Malik Hall should be the one on the bench out of those two, especially the way that they have been playing lately, just completely befuddles me. Last night, I'm sitting there and I'm screaming at the TV while the game is still in reach. Do something with it, Hauser, and he throws it directly to a Purdue player. I just turned around and said, not that, and I turned the TV off for a minute because I couldn't stand to watch him. In the last minute of that game, Joey Hauser had, or not in the last minute, from the last minute to the 30-second mark, Joey Hauser had three turnovers and two bad defensive possessions. That's inexcusable for a player at this level. And it looks like we may have lost Jeremy. But, hold on. I think we got him now.
Can you,
we got you now.
Do you hear me now? So, the problem was is he was hitting shots. So Joey's hitting shots, and this is a huge problem with this team, by the way. Joey might be able to create a little more from the outside, from the perimeter, and then basically what happens is, you know, Malik does more on defense, and sometimes he doesn't play very well offensively. I think you have to play your better defenders. Yeah. I just think you have to. I mean, at this point, any coach would say that. Like, okay, I could deal with Malik not giving me – three threes, but you know what? He might give me 7-8 rebounds and he'll stop the other guys. So that's just something Joey has not done very well this year at all. So I think you play Gabe, you play Malik, you play your most athletic, talented kids, and you just ride this thing out for the rest of this year. And then you basically tell Joey Hauser, look, bud, if you want to come in and be a huge threat next year, you have to rebound, you have to be more physical, and you can't turn the damn ball over. And I think that he's done it numerous times. This isn't just a one-time thing here. And, you know, I know it's drove you crazy with the rebounding, something that's been a staple in this program.
Rebounding and defense.
But I think that – right. And I think, look, this team just doesn't have a mixture of both right now. You can still win by not having – like, you can substitute defense for offense and win games. You can –
and I'm not sure, but it seems like we lost Jeremy again. But yeah, I completely agree with him. I think that this is, yeah, we got you
can
now.
Can you hear me, Tyler? Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but last thing, you can substitute defense for offense. In the Big Ten Conference, which is not a wide open offensive attack, I mean, I know some teams are a little more gifted, but you got to slow teams down, be physical. And they can play that way. And Gabe Brown, Malik Hall, Julius Marble, you got to play those kids. You have to play them more minutes than everybody else. And, you know, I just think that that's
– yeah, they're the ones, you know, that are bringing the energy. Why not? Why not? If you want to shuffle between Lawyer, Hogarth, and Watts because you don't know who gives a crap that night, fine. You know, if you want to shuffle your bigs, like I said, I understand. Stand, you know, the center position a little bit, but all season long, Marble's been the one who's been bringing the energy, and then he doesn't get an opportunity in the second half. That's the situation right now for Michigan State. And look, with this season for all intents and purposes over for Michigan State, look, a loss Saturday will finish it, period. That's going to be the last nail in the coffin. You know, right now they can still kind of kick out. It's going to take a miracle, but they can do it. I don't think they do, but they can. They have opportunities with, like I said, with how tough the Big Ten is. And especially if they get a reschedule with Michigan, if you can win one of the two, that would be huge. But that being said, you know, you kind of look to next year. And, you know, we talked about, Enakbo Akye decommitting from Michigan State and opening up his commitment just in general. Two of the three problems that Michigan State has right now can be solved next year easily. Easily. You're getting your point guard. You're getting Jaden Akins. You know, and then you're getting your go-to scorer. And you are getting a go-to scorer. It's going to be Amone Bates. If he comes, if he does not come, you're still getting Max Christie, who's the number seven recruit in the nation, the number one shooting guard. And by the way, the other night hung 46. So you're getting those two. Boyake would have been that third piece. He would have been the center piece. Like, those are the three big problems that Michigan State has. Two of them are going to be fixed next year. If Marble takes that step forward, or if Sissoko starts to emulate what he did last night on a consistent basis, you can fix that other problem. The fourth problem is still Joey Hauser in the starting lineup and playing starter minutes. But again, that's something that can be rectified next year, because you said it, he needs to have a talk with Hauser. But so it's not like Tom Izzo's time is coming to an end here. He's still got plenty of opportunity next year. But there was one thing that I wish ESPN would have stuck their papers on a little bit more last night, but they cut away, was after the third turnover, Tom Izzo walked up to Joey Hauser and was talking to him while he looked dejected. And look, to me, he's a kid that you need to completely break down. He is, just from a fundamental standpoint, from a basketball basic standpoint, and you need to literally break him down and try to get something out of him, because no matter how many threes he hits when he's feeling good at the beginning of the year, he doesn't bring any energy. He doesn't. And so
it's just not the, yeah, it's not a good fit.
I wanted to see Tom Izzo without the mask, which that makes it harder for me to judge. But I wanted to see him go at Joey Hauser like he used to at Paul Davis and make him cry a little bit. Bring some emotion out. Good, bad, negative, sad, happy, upset. I don't care. But I need to see something from him to think that he has any business on a Big Ten contending team.
Yeah, it might be the COVID thing. You know, maybe he's not allowed to, he doesn't want to spit on someone, and, you know, and he's a little worried about health standards and protocols. I don't know. You know, I think things will change for next year, though. They got some kids coming in. Again, there's a concern for both programs, obviously. Like, someone comes in, who's got to go or who's going to play, and you always have that worry. Michigan will have a completely different lineup because they're losing everybody, and then they start over with a bunch of really good young kids. So, you know, that will be interesting to see what Dickinson and Wagner do. Everybody else is gone. So, you know, your core players, there's a strong possibility that all of them are gone, and all seven. So you've got an opportunity to snag another grad transfer, maybe, or you have an opportunity to sign one more freshman. The kids that are coming back for next year, you know, Brandon Johns, Zeb Jackson, and Terrence Williams, that's pretty much it of guys that could play. You know, and then you're kind of hoping, like, okay, Wagner isn't like a lottery. Maybe he wants to come back one more year. And Dickinson comes back one more year. Like, we want to dominate, you know, we want to be like, you know, in contention for first team, all Big Ten, all that stuff in preseason. And then you got a chance to really, really be good 2 years in a row. This team is a product of great experience and great chemistry, and you added a couple young pieces to it. I mean, that's all it is. And then you added those grad transfers. I mean, Juwan Howard has made this thing work this year, because we had no idea how good Mike Smith would be. We had no idea how good Shondre Brown would be. I thought Brown would be key, though. I thought he's been at Wake Forest. He's started. You know, he should be able to slide in and play at this level. Mike Smith, though, I had no idea how good he would be, because he just didn't play in the same competition. So those two guys have been fantastic.
Well, do you think that
they're gone, though? So
yeah, do you think that competition thing, though, is why people thought Hauser was going to excel is just because he wasn't playing great competition at Marquette.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a, it's still really competitive. I mean, that's different than playing in the Ivy League. I mean, the Ivy League, you know,
let me go back here.
Ultra
it also
athletic.
Helps if you have the NCAA's all-time leading scorer taking a lot of the attention off you. Marcus.
Right. I mean, I think there's something that goes that must be said about that. Great point, Tyler. When you play with a guy like that,
yep.
In Howard, correct? Because you know,
Cassius
yeah,
drafted
Howard
over,
was fantastic
by the way,
last year.
Howard didn't draft it.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy because I thought, you know, we had talked about Player of the Year a lot last year. And we just always thought Cassius should be in at least in the running for it. He wasn't. But Howard and obviously Toppin were like the two guys that kept coming to mind last year for me because of the way they could score the ball. I think this is a great point you're making, though, is maybe Joey Hauser was kind of just hiding around and nobody really noticed him. You know, now you're noticed, bro. We notice you now. Like, you have a huge key piece part to this team. You've got to be, you're an integral part of this team. You're not hiding. Howard ain't saving your butt no more. So I think that's a great point if that's what you're making here, because I think, okay, Joey, now the lights are shining on you. And I think this is a learning experience for all for Michigan State. But, you know, I'll tell you, man, it's to say Michigan State's like, oh, the you know, the train is off the tracks is crazy. I mean, they've been very, very good. There's just some concerning things when you have a rival getting better the way Michigan is. But I think it's going to be great because you know how excited I get when both teams are really, really good. So I think that both programs are on the upswing. I just think
I'm right there with you. I don't think that this is the death of the program. Like I said, you're getting Max Christie. You're getting your blue-collar wing in Pierre Brooks. You get a football player. Like, come. Yeah.
And they don't need a Monty Bates, by the way. I haven't said this much.
If Henry comes back,
don't
I don't
even
think
need
they
him.
If Henry comes back, they don't need him. If Henry leaves, I think they do. I mean, I think there's still that talent. Like I said, you'll have Chrissy, you'll have Keon Coleman, who's not even going to take up a scholarship because he has football one. But you'll have Pierre Brooks, you'll have Jay Nakins, you'll have Gabe Brown. There, but look, if you're going to go after another big, because you talked about that transfer portal, how it worked for Michigan, and obviously Hauser was from it as well. Didn't work out for him to this point. He's still got two more years left, though. I don't anticipate him leaving early. but you have you still need to, if you want to go after, you want to sign another big, or you want to look through that transfer portal for another big, you need to make room because Langford's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Let's assume Henry goes pro and ends up playing in Uzbekistan or whatever. And then you have a potential transfer. A big's going to transfer. Let's just say it's Bingham. Just because I think that he doesn't mesh well with Izzo either. You know, and that's no disrespect to the kid. I root for the kid. Obviously, whoever comes to Michigan State, I root for them and I want them to do well. But that's...
Let me ask you this, Tyler. I mean, did you ever think, though, like, okay, I've wanted to ask you, this is the tough question I have for you, because, look, I know that we're rivals here, but, you know, I'm just kind of a weirdo, I guess. I'm not an arrogant Michigan fan, and I like to see State do kind of well. They're in our state. Our state certainly needs a little bit of positivity here and there. But eventually, you know, the chickens come to roost, right? You know, your program finally falls off because you've been doing the same thing for all these years and it just didn't happen. Are you a little concerned that, like, Tom, you might need to, like, adjust some things because, yeah, like, if the conference is as good as it is this year, more and more, you're going to get beat Because, yeah, you're going to have to coach differently. Does it ever come to your mind? Or are you like, no, the guy is great. He's won all these games. He's won all these championships. He's just got to be who he is, and the players just need to play better. I mean, where do you stand on this?
I stand on the side of he needs to be who he is, and the players need to play better. Now, there's a reason for that. One, he's talked to, you know, when Tillman and Winston were around, you know, he had conversations with Steve Kerr, a great relationship, I think, between the two, about trying to change his offense to that NBA style, to that Golden State Warriors style. Steve Kerr told him, oh, you don't have the horses to run that. Well, Xavier Tillman was that horse that they needed to run that. They do not have that horse. They do not have that point guard either, you know, and that's two guys who are essentially the center of this offense that Michigan State tries to run. And you've been seeing them run more and more out of the standard Tom Izzo sets, as opposed to some of their freestyling that they did last year. You know, the read and react stuff that the Warriors are so good at. And sure. So I'm really concerned. Yeah, and I think Jaden Akins is the fix to that. I don't know if he's going to fix it right away.
See, I just don't think he's a point guard. I mean, am I missing something? Like, I've watched him play very limited because sometimes high school basketball drives me crazy. So I know that he's played a lot of point at, I think it was Brother Rice, correct, I believe, where he was at. Or he was at one of those schools out here in Metro Detroit.
Right.
So I'm just not a huge high school basketball fan. But I think it was Brother Rice. So he had the ball in his hands all the time at Brother Rice. He killed. He was unstoppable in good basketball, very good basketball in the state of Michigan. Not great, but very good. Watching him for Bates, it was kind of like, okay, this is the Imani show. We knew that anyway. And now with the new Sunrise Prep, he's just the ball's in his hands a lot more. And he creates and creates and creates. I get a little worried, and I don't know if this
he's
is just
come
Mark
like Rocket.
Watts' problem, but he reminds me so much. He plays so much like him. I mean, this is Mark Rocket Watts in high school. I mean, I do think Jaden Akins is a little more in control. I think he's more controlled than Mark was in high school even. But Mark was incredibly athletic, and he got off the ground and great defender. But I will say this, like, I feel like, again, I think Jaden's much smoother than Mark is. And I think you notice that with the way he plays. He's got that lefty game too, which, you know, I love. And I love the kid's game. I just don't know. Is he going to play point? Are they going to move AJ to point? It's just like, oh, my God, are we going to deal with this again? Like,
yeah, and
you know,
I think
make
that's ultimately
here.
What they're doing is I think they're planning on AJ. Ultimately, and that's why, you know, when I, you know, you kind of go over what Michigan State's starting lineup is going to be, Hogard and Akins are kind of, you know, that split for me. You know, they're going to be those guys who it could go either way. If Akins can run it, he can handle it well, fine. You know, that's him. But Lawyer's going to be a senior. You don't have too many point guards on the radar that I'm aware of that are potentially going to be coming in. And so, to me, it's going to be Akins and Hogard because I think Watts transfers, and I think he opens up one of those scholarship spots. Right now, Michigan State needs four. Langford's going to leave. You can take back Hoy Burks and turn him into a walk-on. His daddy's doing just fine. I'm sure he can afford it. And
do you really think Mark will leave? I know we've mentioned it.
Yeah, I do.
And you think it's going to happen?
And I think he's probably. I think it's going to be him and Bingham are the two men out. So that gives you four spots, which opens up that extra space for Imani Bates right there with Langford, Hoiberg, Watts, and Bingham. And I think those are your four scholarships that you open up. And like I said, you've got to get a grad transfer. You've got to get another big late in this class. To try to solidify that center position. If there's not a big out there that you think can replace Marble or Sissoko, fine. You run with those four open scholarships, and that's how you end up.
This is this is not gonna be something you wanna hear, but it's just the truth. And Dan Dockett, who gets a little over the top sometimes.
I thought it was good last night
with his Michigan State stuff. He did make a – he was better than some nights for sure. The one thing he had said that I think must be noted was his concern on how talented Mark Watts is and how he's just not playing well. And eventually what happens is, you know, you don't want that kid to leave. Because, look, Aaron Henry kind of went through this too, where Aaron Henry was like this super talented kid, and he just looked like a bozo out there, right? And, you know, everyone's like, what the heck is wrong with this kid, you know? Had a little bit of that last year, has a little bit of it this year. Freshman year, you know, he kind of had some breakdown moments, but then he stepped up. So everyone was like, oh, he's going to be great, right? Kind of the same deal with Mark. Mark had a great freshman year at the end, and he was big time. I mean, just look at that Maryland game. You know, I think it was
up until
times
the last
played
2 minutes
him,
at the Breslin Center, but definitely did work out in Maryland.
Yeah. Well, right. At the Breslin, at Maryland, that's the game I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
At home,
he
was locked down until the end.
Because
he had the breakdown, and we were like, what the heck happened? Yeah, and it was just like he's locking up arguably the best point guard in the league. So my concern for, you know, a lot of people, you know, but people did argue it. They thought he was right there with Winston. But let me just say that, though, man, because I'll tell you what, Tyler, that's just something where I know you're hard-nosed and your program is that way, and you want to have kids that are tough, and if they don't like it, then they can go. But if it happens to a kid like Mark, that's a little different than Bess. That's a little different than Lucius. That's a little different than guys like that, because this was, like, arguably the guy that was going to take your team over. And it didn't work. So I think they got to find a way to make that work. I think that would really be beneficial for not only Michigan State, but for Mark, because I think Mark Watts should play for Michigan State. I mean,
local kid.
He wanted to be there. He just had a sophomore slump. Hey, Cassius Winston sucked a lot in his first 2 years, right? So, you know, hey, here we go.
Maybe he
could be that guy.
The door on him. I just think he's the odd man out. You see how he doesn't play until the last 5 minutes of a close game, more or less. And I think that's the route that you're going to have to go. If Henry leaves, I think that does open up that room a little bit more. Because you can move Watts to the wing. No matter what happens, you can move him to the wing. You know, and you can have Christie be your three. I think that would be something that would work. If Bates comes in, though, it crowds that wing position unless you kind of want to play him as a stretch four. And I know you've talked about how you don't want him playing a four. I think with this height, though, I think it might work. I think that if you're willing to play someone as soft as Joey Hauser at that position, Amone Bates isn't going to hurt. So I think that if Watts stays or leaves, I mean, that's ultimately going to be the deciding factor of how the lineup looks next year. I think it looks good regardless, because I'd be fine with him. I'd be fine with him as a shooting guard, or I'd be fine with him coming off the bench. If he's gone, though, with Pierre Brooks, Gabe Brown, Max Christie, if you move Akins over. As I was saying before, we lost a little bit of a connection here, but if you move Akins over to the two and want to run Hoggard and Lawyer as your points, fine. I get all that, and so I think it will work either way, but yeah, look, this season definitely brutal for Michigan State. We'll look forward to breaking it down at the end of the year, and we can start to focus on the future a little bit. But that does it for us today. For Jeremy Fowle, I'm Tyler Hayward. This is the Trouble with the Snap podcast.